listening to The Burn. Gaming stuff, blazing fast.
Welcome to a new episode of The Burn, a podcast about gaming, then blazing fast. I'm Aviv Manoach.
And I am Omer Kaplan. Hey, hi, hello.
Hello, long time no podcasting.
No, long time no record.
Yes, exactly.
How are you? How's life? What's new?
I'm doing well. For our listeners, you'll probably notice that the last two episodes dropped quite late. So we did like two recordings normally. And then for some reason we had to skip one or something. And I had a delay in actually posting the episode. So we sort of rebooted.
It's good. We're still keeping cadence. It's good.
No, not really. We wanted to do like a proper 20 episode this year, and I don't think that's happening.
So are we on track for what, 19, 18?
Let me see. Let me open the folder, because you only see, Omer, the document I sent you, but I have an actual folder with everything. So
Oh, nice.
We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 episodes so far this year.
So that means, I mean, just to put it in perspective, even if we get to 20, that's like almost, let's say, 30 games that we're covering. So that, I mean, that's pretty good. Like,
yeah.
So let's say a listener, right, gets to buy all the games we recommend, or even half of the games we recommend, they're in for a pretty good year game-wise. So it's all good.
From that,
so we're delivering.
Yes.
So even though the cadence is not there, the value is there. And
yes,
we're all about the value.
We aim that there are 52 weeks a year, so we are aiming at 26 episode. We'll probably hit 20. It's fine. It's nice. It's like one season of game burning.
Outcomes over outputs. So,
yes.
Just to make you feel good about the cadence.
Exactly.
All right.
And today we'll talk about a free game, so it won't cost people anything, allegedly.
Right. So even more value, unless they double down on microtransactions, and then
we'll get to that. I heard some things. So before we get started, we are The Burn. We are a podcast about gaming done blazing fast, 30 minutes or so. In each episode of the show, we discuss game or games that we are playing and either like or dislike or want to talk about. Usually, we also cover some news. Today, we are just sticking with games. All of our past episodes are available at theburn.live, where you will find your favorite podcasting applications that you can subscribe to. You can also check out some live content over on twitch.tv/isel.me. I'm also starting soon. We are rebooting the Stream Elements community live shows. So we're going to start doing just random gaming nights.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and that's over the channel Stream Elements HQ. So to begin with, we have a recall segment. In the recall segment, we talk about games we covered in the past, and then one of us tried after the other one talked about them. So in this case, it's No Man's Sky. Omer talked about it a few episodes ago. I played No Man's Sky originally when it came out on the PC. I think I talked about that on the episode. And then they had, like a month ago, an update called Prisms, which donated the 5th year anniversary for the game, and also included engine improvements and a version for the PlayStation 5. So I bought it on the PlayStation 5. It was half off on the store. And I played like, what, 16, 20 hours of it, something like that. I would say that the PlayStation 5 version is very good. They are using all the capabilities of the DualSense controller. especially the adaptive triggers. I tell you, Omer, adaptive trigger are the best thing that happened to gamepad since like dual stick and trigger buttons or something like that.
I cannot wait to try that out. I never even tried that.
It's imagine you press on a trigger, but the game can put pressure so that the trigger you will be harder or softer, or it will have varying degrees of hardness. So in example, in the Ubisoft games like Phoenix and Assassin's Creed Valhalla, when you aim your bow, when you pull back your bow, the trigger is hard, and when you get to the maximum amount of tension, it softens to give you feedback, haptic feedback, that you finished. So some people say that they don't like the controller doing things like that because it pulls them out of the immersion. I'm of the opposite opinion. The more feedback I get from the controller, the better, especially on stuff like that. Great version for the PlayStation 5 for No Man's Sky. Now, as for the rest of the game, since I have the perspective of playing the game when it came out and then playing it with all the expansions, when the game first came out, some people were really upset because the company made promises, allegedly, that they didn't keep, and then the game was at some state. But what I liked in the game when it came out was that it had very clear objective. You always moved forward. And it was a very interesting and zen-like game loop. You traveled and you explored the planet, and then you jumped to the next system and to the next system and to the next system. And that's what the game was. And then now with the expansions, the game loop is completely different. The game loop is actually you explore something, you go back. You explore something else, you go back. You always go back to your bases or to the anomaly station or one of the other space station, because they added the quick travel terminals to the game, as well as the ability to build bases and so forth. So instead of having the sense of always moving forward, now you always come back to your base because you have your huge vaults of resources you want to go back to because you need to build something new or etc. Now, I assume that if you get to the part in the game when you get a freighter, that's less of a problem because you can basically take your base with you.
Yes.
But I didn't get to it. I don't know if to say that I'm sad or upset or annoyed that in 20 hours of game I haven't gotten to the freighters yet. I thought it was much sooner to get to that.
Yeah, no, I didn't get to them either. I mean, I have a pretty big like spaceship now, but nothing like that I can take like the entire base with me.
They changed the way you use new spaceships. Like when you find new spaceships now, they are completely broken and you have to spend so much resources to fix them.
I have a few like wrecks that I have. I don't take care of like any of them. I just like buy ships like from other people. That's the only way I get ahead.
Yeah, and also they added the thing with if you want to buy a spaceship on a station, you need to find the owner and buy it from them, and it's annoying.
That's fine. I mean, it just like get to the immersion. Like here's the thing. Like to me, I mean, I played it like at the advanced state. To me, it just became like a sandbox game where you sit down and say, hey, I'm feeling like exploring today, so I'm going to do that. But like there's no, I mean, they added quests, but I never do the quests.
Oh, I actually only did the quest.
I hate the quest. I can't.
I did quests, and then sometimes I saw something new for my base I wanted, so I worked toward that. Actually, the base building system, you start by having like modular component, and then at some point you get to prefabs, and from that point on, I don't see any reason to use like freeform base building. The prefabs are so much better than anything you can do yourself.
I mean, I've seen people do some crazy stuff. I'm not the Minecraft creative stuff builder person, so I just like build a functional base. I just want everything to be connected. I want my solar panels
exactly,
to be connected.
Exactly. And then I never had enough carbon to power up the base. So I quickly got to solar panels. And once I got to solar panels, that's it. I never had any energy problems. The prefabs are so nice because they have anchor points that you can put all your stations on. So that's really good. I played, as I said, about 20 hours, and the itch stopped. It just stopped being interesting to me.
It scratches an itch, and once the itch has been scratched, you're fine. You can move on.
Exactly.
So it's not something you like invest like hundreds. Yeah. Like it's not like it doesn't have like enough hooks to keep you engaged, like Assassin's Creed or stuff like that. That it's just like, you know, you wanna be a spaceman exploring space, you're gonna do that, and then after the weekend is over, you're good to go, you keep on like investing time in your other games. That's good for what it is. I don't need another like super hard committing game in my life, so that's good.
Yes, I totally agree. Okay, let's move on to the game of the show. So let me do some preface. We are talking about Pokemon Unite, which is a
Pokemon
new
Pokemon Unite. Yeah, yes. you can't like really say it in like the regular voice. You have to use the Sega voice.
Okay.
the announcer.
Which is a MOBA style Pokemon game. Now, when I saw it for the first time, I went like, how didn't they do this before? Like, I think about it, and Pokemon is like the best setting to put a MOBA in. Now, before we dive into what this game is, let's give some context. Omer and I are a very long time MOBA players, although not lately. And we even had a previous podcast about Heroes of the Storm that ran for 20 episodes. So this makes The Burn a better show than than Storm Chasers.
I mean, it's more diverse for sure. And I mean, I still play League every day, so I don't know.
So you play some League still. I used to play every MOBA that came out back in the day. I played Dawngate, and I played Smite, and I played Strife, and everything. That genre just resonated with me in a very base level. But I don't really like Dota and League's full on modes because they are very complicated. They take so long to play. So that's why I think both of us really gravitated to Heroes of the Storm at the time, because Heroes of the Storm had more simplified mechanics. You didn't have personalized currency or personalized XP. And the game could end in like 20 minutes and stuff. And now comes Pokemon Unite. And also it's a MOBA for the Switch, which is really interesting. Also, if you think about it, basically the entire MOBA genre had... no one does it anymore. The two big ones stay the big ones, Dota and League. And then Heroes and Smite remain the little ones that still exist. And no one else does it. So for Nintendo / Pokemon, Game Freak, Pokemon Company, to come out and say, oh, we have a competitive MOBA-style game for the Switch, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean that whole like the whole genre is really interesting. I think there's a big, I mean, there's a big huge niche of MOBA games for mobile phones and like tablets and stuff. So they had the one. What's the name of the one that was like really good and then went under the radar?
Arena Mash something.
No, it was like 3-on-3, three lanes. I played it for a little bit.
Oh right, not Arena of Valor. Arena of Valor was something else. I know what you're talking about. Yes, so, there was a game a mobile game that
that
came out specifically for mobile and then changed the formula to be suitable to be played on mobile. Yeah.
And I think like this, so there's a huge market. So there's Arena of Valor, there's like League of Legends Wild Rift now on the mobile devices. So and there's like Mobile Legends, all the clones in the world are on mobile. And then I mean I played
Vainglory. Like,
Vainglory, yes. It was a pretty good game. So I thought to myself, okay, well, how much more innovative can you get in the specific? So there's a lot of like innovation going on in MOBAs right now. So there's a game called Eternal Return, which like it's kind of like a MOBA, but also add more PvE and some crafting. It's kind of like a mix between like crafting games and MOBAs. It's a nice game. It didn't hit the West. I don't think it hit like the US market yet though. Mm-hmm. But you can watch it; it's pretty nice. And then it also has like all the mobile mechanics, the skills, and the ultimates and stuff. So I thought to myself, okay, well, you know, Pokemon Unite came out. Like, how much more innovative can you get?
Well,
and I was.
It goes on the opposite direction. At least instead of making it more complicated, it make it simpler, which is good.
It make it exponentially simpler. So they, I mean. First of all, like you said, Pokemons are like the ultimate MOBA materials because there's like a billion of them.
There's a billion of them. There's a billion abilities.
They all have like unique abilities. And
there is clear relationships and power between the Pokemons and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, each one of them has like distinct abilities that people like resonate to. So it's really nice. So what they did is that they took the lane genre and really simplified it. So instead of like, so Heroes of the Storm had three lanes, this one have two lanes and a jungle area, which is pretty awesome. And I mean, so I'm playing only ranked because I really, you know, I gave up on rank anxiety a long time ago, so I don't care anymore. So people are actually like playing the jungle area, they're playing the top lane, the bottom lane, and the goal. I mean, that's the pretty cool and innovative part because like, you can't really make a Pokemon game when they actually kill each other because that doesn't really, because there's no such thing in Pokemon. So instead, you just like collect wild Pokemons into Pokeballs and just dunk them into those hoops in your opponent's lane.
Yes, they turn it instead of destroying towers and bases and stuff. You don't destroy anything because you don't destroy stuff in Pokemon. We are friends in Pokemon. We are playing a sports like competition, where there are goals that you score points to, which is a lot nicer. Yeah.
And they still kept. I think what makes the game really nice, except for like the overall like game, you know, the gameplay mechanics. And by the way, the performance on this game is super super nice. So mm-hmm.
you know, it looks good. I mean,
it looks good. It runs very smoothly as opposed to I played a lot of Arena of Valor on the Switch, and you can tell that this game was developed Switch first and not mobile first, and then was ported. Mm-hmm. So because like it really runs super smooth, 60 frames. By the way, on settings you can change to 60 frames per second, and it runs even better.
Interesting. I haven't checked that.
Yeah, go to settings while I'm talking, and change. So I think it says like not recommended, but as soon as I change it, the game runs even smoother. So it's pretty awesome. And like, so the performance is great. I think what makes the game really, really good is that the whole targeting system and the way the control scheme is laid out is super intuitive for the Switch. So the aim assist is really helpful, and it really, you know, if you're just a beginner and you don't want to mess around with like super crazy mechanics, the aim assist makes your life very easy. And then, you know, if you go up the levels, you want to get fancy with manual targeting and stuff, then you can totally do it. But at the base level, you can super enjoy the game and win games and like get that fantasy of like being a Pokemon and just like jump on top of people.
You're technically still a Pokemon trainer, but yes.
Yeah. So okay, so tell me, what type of Pokemon you play? So basically, in this game, Pokemons are
well. I think there is one obvious choice, and that is
you have to go Pikachu.
No, never.
No?
You go Bulbasaur, obviously.
Oh yeah, I don't think. Oh, maybe I got him.
It was on the free rotation when I started.
Oh okay.
But no, I almost have enough currency to get it for forever and ever.
So I'm playing Snorlax and like the slow mo bro, whatever. It's like big chunky Pokemons, just like have a lot of CC and don't do really any damage.
Yeah, but you see, in Pokemon Unite, like in the mainline Pokemon games, I don't like Pokemons that don't evolve. I want my Pokemon to evolve. So I only want to play those Pokemon.
Oh yeah, so the evolve mechanic is pretty cool. So as you, and we didn't talk about that. So as you capture wild Pokemon or like
it's technically just a level up mechanics. Like
yeah, exactly. But like from a graphics perspective, your Pokemon evolve, which is pretty
yes,
cool.
Yes.
You can, so if you're playing Charizard, you can actually see the kind of like the evolution process from a young dragon to like a full on always flying dragon. It's just pretty cool.
That especially a very cool Pokemon to play. Charmander into Charmeleon into Charizard.
Charizard. The only thing that like adds, I think, it's a necessary complication. Otherwise, there won't be like an expression of skills at high levels. You have those like items that are like give you passive powers that you can add. And, like you have three of those, and then you have one of your like trinkets, so you can choose between. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can choose like you can choose between like flash. I'm talking about in league terms. You can choose between flash and like heal and. Like all those like little trinkets. So those add like, you know, as a beginner, it's like you don't know what the other people have, so you don't know how to react to it. So just like use it yourself. But then you can really add a lot of like skill to, you know, just playing the game using those trinkets. So, I mean, it's kind of nice. It lends itself both to people who just want to have fun and mess around and people who really want to get competitive and like use the maps and all this stuff. So it's pretty cool.
I just got nine tails.
Yes.
From the 14-day welcoming gifts.
Mm. So you got your bosses, you got your like it's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, they put into it pretty much everything that a MOBA has, but like clearer. I don't want to use the word simplified because the game is not simple, but it's.
It's accessible.
It's streamlined. That's streamlined. That's the word. I really like the fact that there is a jungle and there are lanes, but
the jungle is a pretty cool concept.
There is no like distinct difference between going on to killing minions and going on to killing people in the jungle. Like not
no. monsters. I think it just encourages the team to split up and not just like bunch up in one lane. Because like if you all like bunch up in one lane, your opponents will just rush through your gate like super fast. So it's just kind of like it's kind of like hints the players. Okay, well you need to split up and then open the map a little bit.
Right, and there is a cool sort of fast travel thing
for the
jump pad for your half of the map. That get you back on, to the action quicker.
That's good. Because you only have 10 minutes, so might as well.
Yeah, and it's a time limit, which is also a very different thing from a lot of other MOBA/competitive games.
Yeah, no, I'm having tons of fun. Like the only thing that gets me every time. First of all, by the way, I played it so much that I destroyed my left Joy-Con and I started having drift in my Joy-Con.
No.
So I had to send one to Nintendo to get it fixed, and then I had to buy another one. So that kind of sucked.
Why aren't you playing it with an external controller?
Because I only have handheld mode. I don't have any TV to hook it up to.
Still. Okay, sure.
So, I can always like put it on the desk and like use an external controller.
Oh, yeah, you can hook it up to your computer monitor.
Yeah, I only have like I have a Mac, so it's kind of like Mac doesn't like connecting stuff to it that are not like Apple product that cost like a lot of money. So
the same as Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. So nobody likes nothing. So anyway, yeah. So I'm playing it handheld mode. Got some drift, and I couldn't like play any other game. So one went to Nintendo. I got a new one to keep playing. So that's kind of nice. Yeah. So the only thing that gets me in this game. Like it's just the fact that it's free to play. It can easily be like a paid game and get like a ton of traction.
Yeah, I heard from some people that the business model is considered predatory. I haven't really noticed anything.
I don't know. There's like so many. I mean, so up until now, I didn't notice any pay to win elements. So just like skins and cosmetics and stuff, but. I don't know, there's like so many currencies and I have to like keep track of like my battle pass tickets and my
gold
and my fashion tickets. Like just, you know, I just like let me pay like $20, get a game and buy cosmetics if I really wanted to and call it a day. It's just too much. And then like on the other hand, I'm playing on my PC. I'm playing like Path of Exile and they went like the other way, so it's a free to play game which you pay like big money, real hard cash for like skins and stuff. So I don't know, I take it this way, but like right now it's just every progression mechanic that encourage people to spend money, it's in there. So I don't know, not a huge fan. Just let me, you know, but I get it, they want like a big player base day one, and then all the other Pokemon experience it on the Switch. It like starts at $60. So if you don't want to buy like a full-on traditional Pokemon game, that's your avenue, right? The free-to-play.
Give us
a bunch of money.
Sort of, yeah.
Or get like Temtem for $40 and, you know, be sad that you don't
get Temtem.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
I play.
I know.
Don't get it.
Yeah. And from gameplay perspective, the only thing I didn't like is that you can't see the score in the middle of the game. Like, why wouldn't you let players... And maybe you can explain it to me from a game design perspective. I see no... Like,
no,
zero reason.
I haven't really noticed that. I just know that from time to time, the game will tell you, you're in the lead, you're in the strong lead, or whatever.
Yeah, but like, so let's say it says, like, so if you're not in the lead, on the other end, it says, we're really struggling to keep up. It's like, okay, well, how much do I need to win? Like, do I need to try hard, or like, just a little bit? So, I don't know. So you can't really tell, and it will only tell you at the end of the game. So
speaking of the nuts hurting people friendly thing, so in a regular MOBA, if you cross over to enemy territory, quote unquote, you get fired on and you're likely to die. In Pokemon Unite, you don't get fired upon and nothing kills you. But there is a slow effect once
I think like movement and mobility is very important in this game, so the slow really hurts.
Yeah, so you don't want to cross to the enemy team unless you are going for a kill against one of the other players. There are also very easy heals on your side of the map, so
yes.
There are like I don't remember how they call it. Like a power-up thing that heals you. And,
yeah, there's like fruit you can pick up.
Yes, fruit, exactly. Berries in a Pokemon manner. If you stand on your goals, you also get healed. So it's very easy to get healed, get back in the game. It's because of the time limit, I think, it's a very quick-paced game, both to get into it and get into a battle and then go out of the battle and heal and go back and stuff. It's encouraged you to stay active all the time, which is good because some MOBAs have very large period of just inactivity and idling while you wait for XP to gather and money to earn and stuff like that. So
Yeah, in that sense, it's not punishing like at all. So, you know, in League, when you get behind, it's really, really can be frustrating. Like you say, okay, well, you know, I just don't get to play the game now for 15 minutes unless I catch up in some miracle way. I'm going to be like dunked on the entire game. In Unite, you can kind of sort of still defend. You can like still do things that, and I mean, it's 10 minutes, right? So even, I mean, there were some games that got like smashed hard. it's over pretty fast. Oh, and there's a surrender mechanic if you're like really, really out of it. There's a surrender mechanic, but I mean, I've used it like maybe like once or twice in my whole, you know, lot of games. So it's fun though. It's a fun. I haven't played it like in a group yet. I only played like random matchmaking, and matchmaking is super fast. Like there's a lot of player base, I guess.
We should try play together sometime.
Is that like region dependent? I don't know.
My account is American anyway.
Oh, perfect.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I think I have you on my friend list, even.
Maybe. Cool. Okay, maybe. So we're out of time, so I won't be talking about the last thing, but that's fine. We covered what we wanted. That's all we have on the show today.
Yeah, so, go play Pokemon Unite.
Yeah, go try it at least. That's worth a try. Thank you for listening. You can find us online always. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Isel, and Omer is at Omer Kaplan. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, comment, and leave your reviews. On your preferred listening app, you can find all of them at theburn.live. And our opening theme was created by Andorko with vocals by Fishy Twitch, both of them on Twitter as well. Thank you, Omer.
Thank you for having me.
Exciting stuff, and we'll talk
for
again
sure.
Next time. Goodbye. Bye-bye.